Penelope. She'll eventually come right over here. All right. I'm so excited to do this.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Maddie, how the hell are you?
I'm great.
I got a conversation starter right here.
All
right. Check this out. So I borrowed this copy of Wicked from my friend Katie. And I knew when I borrowed it, I knew I was never going to give it back to her.
Sure.
Yeah, because you know how books are, right?
Right.
So to make it up to her, I bought her a set.
That's right. Yeah. The bookmarks that I made.
Bookmarks that you made. Was it a set of four?
It was four. Yeah. It was Moby Cat, Catless Shrugged, Cat of Monte Cristo, and then I forget what the fourth one was.
Wow. You could remember all of them.
Yeah.
Well, almost all of them. Yeah. And I kept Moby Cat.
Yeah.
and I keep it in the book that I borrowed from her.
How funny.
How long ago do you think that was?
Oh, at least 10 years.
No, I've only been here 10 years.
Yeah, probably about that, because I've been out of my apprenticeship for, it'll be 9 next year, I think.
Really?
And I did those when I was still in my apprenticeship, I'm pretty sure, because I had to make that sweet, sweet Etsy money.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't tattooing yet, so.
Let's just introduce yourself for those that don't know. Because, like, here in town, everybody knows.
Kind of, I guess. Yeah. My name is Maddie, and I'm a tattoo artist, and I do other stuff, but that's what I mainly do.
Yeah, you're an artist.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you were growing up, doodling in your notebooks, did you want to be a tattoo artist?
I had no idea.
Did you ever think that it was going to happen?
No, I didn't know that it was an option. My aunt was heavily tattooed, and she was in that scene, but it was just something that, like, my parents didn't really talk about a lot until I got older and got, like, curious. Like, wait, why is Regina so tattooed? Like, what is up with that? What's that about? And she kind of convinced them that it would be, like, a viable career option. So they were open to it, and it worked out, I guess.
That's awesome. Did you grow up here in Sacramento?
Yeah, I grew up in Carmichael.
In Carmichael. And now you're a Midtowner.
Yes.
Are you? Yeah. Now, when did you make the switch from Carmichael to Midtown?
I think I moved down there 2013, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we both ended up here at about the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we crossed paths and we took improv classes together. We weren't just at the same time. I'm pretty sure we had classes together.
I think we did. Yeah. At least one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I only did like three, I think.
Oh, really?
You only did two. I don't know. I only did a couple, but they threw me on a bunch of shit.
But you were great. I'm kind of like, only two and you did that good?
Well.
I did. What led you to improv? Like, were you a theater kid growing up? Did you like doing that stuff?
Yeah, I was a theater kid. I mean, we did like plays and stuff in elementary school, but in high school, I did most of the productions that I was able to do. And I think I did all of them that I was able to like audition for, because I don't think as a freshman you could, but yeah, and like musicals included. It was fun, but that was just at school, you know, no like music circus or anything.
Right that's awesome. When you were going to school and you're theater kid and you're doing all that stuff and you're starting to explore art, you said being a tattoo artist wasn't on your mind just yet?
No, not at all. I thought it may be kind of cool to go to college for like animation or illustration or something, but my grades were definitely not good enough to offset how expensive something like CalArts would be. So I kind of just got into UNR on default and studied music for a little bit, and then came back to Sacramento to continue studying music, but at ARC for like the production side of things.
What is UNR?
University of Nevada, Reno.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you went away to college for a little bit?
For a year.
For a year, okay. Yeah. And how'd you like Nevada, Reno?
Oh, you know, it's Reno, and I was 18, so there's only so much you can do in Reno at 18, besides go to school and be bad at school, which I was, so.
Were you not a good, I was a horrible student, like horrible.
If I liked what I was studying and or the teacher was cool, then I was a good student, but if it was any kind of difficult for me to pay attention, my brain just didn't like it, and I tried to be disciplined, and I think as an adult now I'd be a better student.
Yeah,
especially after tattooing and stuff, you know, I get definitely learn discipline there, but when I was younger it was just really, really hard for me to succeed in all aspects of school.
So you graduate, you go to University of Reno, Nevada for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
You come back. Are you still going to school, or did you just drop? Oh, yeah, you said you went to ARC, American River College.
Yeah, and then, like, right before I would have probably gotten my degree, I was studying audio engineering. I dropped out to do a tattoo apprenticeship.
That's where I wanted to get to.
Yeah.
Where did you – what finally convinced you, okay, I think I want to start tattooing?
It was actually – very, like, naive. I was working at Starbucks at the time, and my shift manager, or shift lead, or whatever you want to call her, had taken wedding photos for this couple that came in all the time, and they owned a tattoo shop in Carmichael. And she was like, oh, you should just get an apprenticeship, because I was dicking around and like drawing on my hand all the time. And the couple, it actually kind of worked out for a little bit. It didn't end up working out completely, but that's another story for another time. But it is, you know, ultimately what led me to get my second apprenticeship later. And, you know, rest is history. That's my job now.
So you did the apprenticeship at their shop?
I did 1 year of apprenticeship there, and then took a little bit of time off, and then found another one.
Mm-hmm. What goes on during an apprenticeship? Are you just watching and you're learning the tools and the supplies? And one of my favorite things when I'm just nerding out in your studio is seeing, like, the care and the precision of, like, all your tools and all your colors and all that. What is that what you're learning the first year of your apprenticeship?
Yeah, definitely a lot of watching, asking questions. You set up and break down your mentor's station, a lot of cleaning, just kind of learning the ins and outs of all the moving parts of the thing before you actually get to the technique of making the art happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How long till you actually get to tattoo on a human?
It depends on the mentor. My first mentor had a specific idea of what should happen, but that didn't end up working out for either of us. And then the second mentor, it was pretty quickly. I think I was watching him for maybe about 6 months. I want to say it was within a year before I started actually tattooing people. Like, I thought it was going to be longer, but he had me, like, start pretty quickly. And it was not like practice on fake skins or anything. He was just like, all right, gotta find a friend that trusts you and do something very small, and, you know, that's how you start. So
do you remember the very first
time? Yeah.
Did you tattoo yourself first? Because I think I've heard a lot of people tattoo themselves first.
No, I tattooed a little tiny Sailor Jerry fly on my buddy Max. I think that was the first one that I did as an apprentice at that shop. When I got that job, though, they had me come in with my equipment, and kind of as a audition, they had me tattoo one of the owner's friends that just happened to be there during the interview, and I put a bender from Futurama, like a little head on his leg, and I barely remember what it looked like, but I guarantee you it was not good. It felt good enough to get me the apprenticeship, I guess. But
do you have... Like, I'll have doing comedy, I'll have sets that haunt me and sets that, like, I cherish. Do you have tattoos that, like, years later you're like, I could have done this better, or I should have done it differently?
Absolutely. You know, every tattoo I do, I end up looking at the picture of it for forever until, you know, the next one that haunts me, which is everyone. You know, I think I do, I'm good at my job, but I think part of being an artist that does things that are permanently on people is that you really do try to pick apart your own work all the time and, like, see how you can improve every time. That being said, there are some projects that in the past didn't go the way that the client wanted, or like, you know, just the art wasn't what I thought it could be, or I didn't execute it right or correctly, you know, art wise. Technically I tattoo well, but on the art side of things, sometimes it's difficult to get to that point that everybody's happy. And yeah, that stuff does bug you, but all you can do is try to be better, and, you know, if they still want to work with you, give them a better tattoo next time.
how hard is it to, because one of the things, because, like, I've come to you for tattoos of where, like, I want you to do something that's already been created, right? And how hard is it to, like, just copy something, like, line for line, versus, like, because I to me it seems like that would be harder than creating something out of nothing.
So I mean, ideally you don't copy somebody else's artwork, but having to, you know, like, do an exact replica of a drawing that you've done on somebody a second time without being able to correct your mistakes, it's just kind of the muscle of it. You kind of learn to think of yourself as like a computer and just kind of try to be as efficient and accurate as possible. But when you're emulating other people's artwork or like classic artwork, for example, there's a lot of ways you can go about it. I think it just kind of depends on the kind of tattooer that you are. Because I do a lot of line work stuff, but I also enjoy recreating Van Gogh paintings and stuff like that, or like Mucha and stuff, without those harsh lines. But that's just completely on the other side of the spectrum, and I just like doing that. Some people don't, you know. So,
have you gone to the Van Gogh exhibit?
No, which one?
The one here in town.
Yeah, there's like two.
There's two?
I swear, there's like two, at least
there's
two.
There's one in West Sac that I drive by all the time, and it's like a whole building.
I've heard that, not to like stir up drama, but I've heard that one is better than the other.
Well, but you don't know which one.
Yeah, I don't know.
That kind of sucks. That kind of sucks. That story would have been a lot cooler if you could have told me which one you heard was better than the other.
I've heard whichever one is the good one is cool. So yeah, I should check it out.
How much do you love Sacramento?
I love it. You know, I always thought that I would want to move somewhere else, and if it happened for my career, that'd be cool, because I do like traveling and I do like other places and climates, but this place is pretty cool, and I'd be happy being here, you know.
Where would you want to go?
I don't know. Like I said, I don't really
just sounded like the right thing to say.
No, I mean, like, I think Southern California has always kind of drawn me for whatever reason, but I know that every place has its problems and every place has its upsides, so I think it really just depends on what's going on in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not really opposed to anywhere except for maybe like somewhere that's like super super cold. I don't really like the idea of snow all the time, but who knows.
You like the idea of snow. I don't. You don't, but
I
you kind of do? Or you do?
No, I don't. I wouldn't want that.
Oh, you wouldn't want to Okay. Oh, I get it. Yeah. True. Smoking like a true Californian.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool to look at, but then I'm like, mm-mm. No.
That is exactly what I say about snow. Like, people will be like, snow? And I'm like, you know what? I've seen pictures of it. I've touched it once or twice. No, it's too slippery. It's too cold.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, no.
It's not as fun as movies make it seem to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you find a Halloween costume?
I did. I found a stupid black cat.
I read your Instagram story this morning.
Yeah.
And I was cracking up.
I was hoping that they would have kind of like some more like wonky ones, but they didn't know. It's all kind of like normal, and they had a bunch of shit still. So I found a black cat costume. I was like, yeah.
Black cat?
Just go normal cat.
Okay, are you going to a party, or are you just
No.
Just to wear to the shop?
Yeah, I have no idea. No, because I'm not working on Tuesday, so I don't know what I'm doing at all, actually. I think there's, like, a costume party and a cover band, like, Halloween show at Old Ironsides on Halloween, which I might go to. Golden Bear usually has a, like, music open night, so maybe that, but I don't know.
Just
hop around and be in a costume.
Do you have a favorite bar downtown?
I've got a few. I love Golden Bear. I love B-Side and Shady Lady. I love Elixir. Tank House has been a home to me also. Jungle Bird, I painted a mural for them. I don't know. I have friends everywhere. I don't really have a favorite. It's like who's working on what day.
I get it, and like that's kind of like one of the things I really dig about you, is like you're one of these local artists who have seemed to have like kind of have become part of the city itself. Like you emulate what Sacramento, like the things I love about Sacramento are like kind of like emulated in you, to me.
Thanks, man.
That's what I see.
I do love it a lot, and I think I grew up kind of isolated as a kid. Not to say that my parents like kept me like locked in a room or anything, but I didn't have a lot of friends super near to where I lived. So when I got to hang out with people, it was kind of like a special deal. And otherwise, I was just kind of on my own. My sister went to college when I was 8 years old, so it was almost like I was a solo child, but not. And I think as an adult, I just really, really wanted to lean into the idea of like a community that you make, and it worked out. Everybody's nice.
Holy shit, you just said something. Are you the youngest of a few? Like what's
I only have the one older sister, and she's 8 years older than me.
Okay, so I'm the youngest of six, but I came along like 9 years after everyone else, so I feel like an only child.
Right. Yeah. And like, of course, my sister hears that, she's like, wow, thanks, dude, that sucks.
No, but fucking asshole. They don't, but, get,
you know,
it. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. You know, like, because when I'm 8 and she's 16, you know, there was some separation of wanting to hang out versus her not wanting to hang out with an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
And we're cool now, you know, we're close again. But yeah, for a while it was very much like, that's my sister, but we don't, you know.
Yeah, and I feel like I chased that because, like, when I hear my brothers and sisters talk about when they were young, like, they had all 5 of them, and as much as they hated it, like, they loved it, and it was a community.
Yeah.
And I hear them tell these stories of, oh, when we did this, and we did this, and we did this, and I'm like, I played with the neighbor's dog.
Right, yeah.
Wasn't even my dog.
Whenever I hung out with my grandmother next door.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that, like, now, like, being in this Sacramento community, that's one of the things that I love about it, is like finally feeling like I have this, I mean, and I love my family, we get along great.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I love this community that we live in.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it's nice to just like know people and be able to feel like you can go out and do something by yourself, but you'll probably be seeing somebody that you know, and it'll be a nice time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever have to like, with tattooing, do you have to, like, approach it like it's just a job? Like, do you ever have to do tattoos that you're like, oh, I don't want to do that, or I can't do that, or...
I mean, it's really rare that I have clients come to me that ask me to do something that I wouldn't do. I've just curated my clientele and who I present myself as an artist to be well enough to where, like, you know, the things that come in that people want me to do are generally things that I'd like to do or morally acceptable. Yeah. For me, you know. But I don't know, like, I never don't want to do your tattoo, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, doing a piece of my flash might be more fun on a certain day than doing, like, a name, but it's not gonna not be enjoyable to do the name. It's just different, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But on another day, I might not want to do a piece of my flash because it's complicated. I'm gonna be super stoked to do that name, you know. But either way, at the end of the day, I love my job, and I'm gonna, you know, give you a good tattoo because I like my job.
Can you explain what that is, flash, when you say a piece of my flash?
So it's like a pre-drawn design that you pick out and go, like, I want that, as opposed to coming to the artist with your own idea for a design and they draw it up for you custom.
So the flash is like when you'll post stuff, like you'll have like a bunch of stuff saying these are up.
Yeah.
So that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like a piece of your flash.
And the term has been bastardized a little bit because a lot of the designs that I draw are one-offs versus like anybody can get it at any time, no matter how many times I've done it, which is the true traditional meaning of flash. You know, you'd go into a tattoo shop and they just have all the shit on the wall and you'd be like, okay, I want that panther. And 50 other people have that panther, but you know, it's just kind of how it goes. So I kind of do a combination of both. Sometimes I'll do one-offs and then sometimes I'll do repeatable designs.
I used to think that, like, when I was like young and I would see tattoo shops and like I thought like this is the only thing that's available, like this is all they do. Like, I never thought that. Is that the way tattoos used to be?
I mean,
what do you know about the history of tattooing?
So, you know, the idea is that the designs were easy to recreate, or you would memorize how to put the lines down in a certain order in a certain way to where you wouldn't necessarily need a stencil. You could just redraw that design over and over and over and over again on people as they come in and say they want it. So that's, you know, that's the general idea of flash. But, you know, as equipment gets better and people are pushing the techniques of tattooing over the course of time, flash designs get more intricate, you know, with electric tattooing and electric stencil machines and all that stuff. So it's still, people can still pen to skin something that they drew that's really technical, but with all of these other tools that we have, you can kind of do more like intricate things quickly and over and over and over again.
Wow. You've been tattooing, you said, about 9 years now?
Yeah, I think it'll be 9 years in March. I don't think it's going to be 10. Ooh, maybe.
I'll do
the math later.
How do you feel about time and growing old and that? Because, like, let me tell you where I'm at, okay? If this will help you. I'm 52, right? I'm 52, and I, you know, my mom passed away about 2 years ago, and it just, like, really changed, like, really disrupted my life, and it really changed, and it really gave me like this perspective on like life and death. I used to fear death, but now, like, I'm 52 and I do the math and I'm like, if everything goes right, maybe another 30 years. And I look back 30 years and I think to 22. And I think of like what I've done from 22 to today. And I'm like, that's a lot. Mm. And I'm kind of like thrilled. Not about dying, of course, but like I'm kind of excited of like how much is still left and how much I can still do. When you look at your life in the last, let's just say 10 years, how do you feel about like growing up or growing older?
I mean, I feel aging. I feel great. I think that I'm only getting better with age in all aspects, which is cool. And I'm definitely happier with who I am and where I'm at than I was 10 years ago. I've also spent a lot of time in the last 10 years towards like specific things that ended up working out, like my job and stuff. So that's cool. You know, it's nice to see the like what happens if you put an effort over time. So that's neat. I think tattooing, I mean, I've been playing music ever since I was a kid, and that has its own rewards and stuff, but I don't do that as a career like I do tattooing. And just to see tattooing grow versus music that just kind of came easy to me for my whole life, it's been really rewarding. So that's cool about aging. I don't feel that much older. Like, I'm not like, oh, I'm in my 30s now, I'm sore, you know, like I don't I take care of myself, you know, it's whatever. I'm definitely getting a lot more accomplished, so I wouldn't want to be like stupid and 18 again, not doing anything. Like, I remember being so bored, you know? Like, I'm so glad that I'm not bored like that anymore. I actually enjoy my own company. So.
That's awesome. That's so great to hear. I want to, let's talk about music for a little bit. What do you play? What do you perform? I know that I've seen what you play. Do you play bass?
I play guitar.
You play guitar?
Yeah. I've been playing guitar since like, 6th grade, 7th grade, something like that. Yeah, electric guitar, acoustic guitar. Not so much steel guitar, but I have one.
Oh, you do? Okay, because so I'm gonna get into the nuances of the guitar. So, the first guitar that landed in your hands, whose was it, and what was it?
It was a Sam's Club brand child sized practice acoustic guitar.
Oh, so somebody handed you, like somebody got you a guitar.
My dad was like, all right, if you really think you want to play guitar, here's a shitty one and see what you do with it. That was kind of my dad's idea. It's like, if you can prove that you actually want to do what you want to do with like the shittiest version of what I can find, then maybe we'll spend money on it. You know, which is fair. But I noodled around with it a lot, and I drug it around and took it to school with me, and I think I taught myself the King of the Hill, not, you know, very well, but by ear, like the King of the Hill song.
which I believe was written
by the Minutemen. And then
that sounds like the Minutemen.
I believe it's the Minutemen. And then also the SpongeBob like outro song by ear. And that kind of convinced my dad. He was like, okay, well, let's get you a real guitar. So they got me like a, like, I don't know, like $150, like full sized Takamine.
Okay.
Yeah, and guitar lessons and all that shit.
Do you still have either of those?
I gave that first, not the small one, and then the other acoustic guitar I gave to my high school bassist, Cody, I believe. And I think he lost it, but I don't remember. But it went to a good home, regardless, you know, at some point.
And now how many guitars do you have?
Let's see. I think I have like four-ish.
What's your favorite one, or does it depend on what you want to play?
It depends. I have this Hollow Electric. The brand is D. Armand, I believe, and it's not a thing anymore. I want to say Ibanez bought it, but it's really, really nice. It's got like a floating bridge, and the pickups are really cool, and it's really warm. It's really easy to write on. So I like writing on that guy, but then I really like performing with this Japanese Telecaster that I have.
Ooh.
Yeah. That guy's cool.
Is there a guitar you're saving up to get, or a guitar that you want, or are you not one of those types of players? Like, because there's guitarists that are just like, my friend Ivan has like so many guitars, and he's just like, and he's always like chasing another one.
You know, I think at this point I'm still like kind of chasing tone, like pedal wise more than guitar wise, because I am really happy with my Telecaster. And then my Hollow Electric can sound pretty, like, not clean if I don't want it to. So I have a good range with my guitars as far as tone goes with what I want right now and what I need right now. But it really depends on like writing projects in the future, I guess.
What about your gear? What, an amp, pedals?
I just have a little shitty like Marshall practice amp, but it does the job really well. And then my pedals, I've got a Benson preamp that's really nice. And Germanium Overdrive by Electro Harmonix. That's like my favorite pedal that I use all the time. And then I also have a Attack Decay from them that simulates a tape reversal, like a signal reverse.
And you could do that live?
Yeah. It's, wow. It's sick.
That sounds
yeah.
sick.
Yeah, it's super cool. Electro Harmonix is a really cool brand if you're wanting to like get into super weird stuff or very like fundamental stuff for not too expensive, mm-hmm. which is nice.
I've for years I've tried to figure out your taste in music, and it's kind of all over the place. It's I can't nail it.
Yeah.
And I would be very proud of that.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it is all over the place, but because of that, it's kind of hard to like, I've had to learn over the years to actually like dive in and learn about what I'm listening to versus just like, oh, I really like this thing, and then go to something completely opposite and be like, oh, I really like this thing, because I end up not knowing a lot about a lot of things. I just kind of know a little about a lot.
Same. what draws you, music or lyrics?
Both, but probably music first. I think I'll get the ick first on lyrics. If that makes sense. If I'm listening to something I don't like.
Okay.
I'll probably hang out longer music to see if I like it, but it lyrics if I'm just like, ugh, gross.
Yeah, like, yeah, I was going to ask that. I was like, you ever start liking something and then like you listen to like, what did he just say?
Yeah, not so much on the offensive side, but just like cheese ball status.
Oh, cheesy
or,
stuff.
You know, like, just like, ugh, or a bad rhyme, you know, stuff like that. But who am I to say what's bad and good, you know?
You posted a picture the other day on your story. And by the way, I love your Instagram stories. They're all over the place, and they're so honest. Like when you're not having a good day, you say it, and yeah. when you're having a good day, you say it. And like sometimes, I think like my Instagram stories, like I only post the good, and I don't really talk about the bad. But there's just as much bad as there, and you keep it very parallel. You posted a story the other day. One of my favorite albums of all time, The Killers, Sam's Town.
Yeah. I like that album a lot. I think I liked Hot Fuzz a little bit more, which came out first, obviously.
Hot Fuzz is a little bit funkier.
Yeah, it's a little bit funkier, but Sam's Town is just really cool. It's theatric, you know, they're theatrical as a band. But yeah, it's a good little album.
What'd you think of the album right after Sam's Town, Battleborn?
I didn't really listen to it that much.
You haven't listened to it that much?
Yeah, no. It's so, I wish I had something to say about it, but I don't really.
Well, I have a lot to say about it.
Go.
No, with Battleborn. And I've always said this about The Killers, and I love The Killers. I've seen them live once. I love Sam's Town. But to me, The Killers are a good, like, sometimes they sound like a cover band of The Cars. Like, I think on their best days, they sound like a great Cars cover band.
Oh,
and,
man.
And Brandon wants so bad to be Bruce Springsteen. That's what I think of, but I love The Killers. You're and I love wrong. Sam's Town.
It's astute.
Do you have a favorite track on Sam's Town?
I always really liked Uncle Johnny just because it's so like drivey. I really like that guitar tone a lot. So probably that one. Yeah.
I like Bling, Confessions of a King.
Yeah.
I love the lyrics in that one.
Yeah.
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 What else are you listening to these days?
Let me think. I've been listening to a lot of Starfucker out of nowhere. I don't know why.
Who are they? Tell me a little bit about
that. Like 2011, probably earlier than that. Probably much earlier than that. But they're kind of like dancey, kind of like Phoenix or like MGMT or like...
Okay.
Tame Impala maybe, but not quite any of those. They're their own thing.
What is the music you play end up sounding like?
Oh, just like indie garage band shit. Yeah, like a little punk-y, but not punky. alternative indie garage band shit. It sounds very Sacramento, California. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it.
Are you in a band right now, or are you just messing around with musicians right now? What are you doing right now?
Right now I'm writing in the studio with my friend Ashley. She's got a studio called Rosa Mortem. She's a producer, and she also plays some instruments. So she's playing some bass for me, and she's probably going to play some drums, or might have a couple of my friends help with that. But yeah, just been going into her studio and trying to write some stuff. I guess not really a solo project because she's helping, but I don't really know what it is, but it's the next thing. So.
Do you sing too?
Yeah, yeah.
You do?
I do.
Who do you emulate when you sing? Who are you?
Oh, I don't know. The good question. I don't know. I feel like...
Has anyone compared you to somebody?
I feel like I've heard Kylie Minogue once, and that's just wild to me because it's definitely wrong.
Okay.
I think they were thinking of somebody else, and it was an Australian person that said it, which is also wild.
Yeah.
Because you'd think that they would know. But no, I don't think that at all. I mean, you can hear my voice. It's kind of alto-y and scratchy, but I don't know. Yeah.
It's very Sacramento-y.
Hello. Yeah, no. Yeah, good question. I should probably know what I sound like, but apparently I don't.
That's all good. That's all good. Let's see. I'm looking over my... Oh, are you... Where are you with Matthew Perry? Did that... Were you a Friends fan growing up, or that wasn't in your...
You know, I've always been one of those people that has fun hating on Friends, so I feel like right now I'm just letting people have their time about it.
Yeah,
like, I'm not anti-Matthew Perry or anything, but I never watched Friends.
All the millennials... I reached out to all my millennial friends last night, and I'm like, okay? Hey guys, I'm sorry. You know, like...
No, yeah. My dad never let me watch it because he said he thought it was stupid.
It's just stupid.
Which,
it wasn't stupid.
It was like Green Acres isn't stupid, but you know, yeah. Like, fuck. But yeah, I don't know. I think he was just annoyed by it for some reason.
It was everywhere for a minute.
Yeah.
It was everywhere.
We were a Seinfeld family, you know.
Seinfeld, team Seinfeld here all the way.
Yeah.
And I can still put on Seinfeld and just like any episode. And because sometimes, do you do the thing with Netflix or whatever? Do you do where like, you spend more time looking for something to watch than as opposed to actually watching?
I feel like I used to do that, but now that they like play a little bit of whatever you're looking at, I find it really like scary. So I feel like I have to like search like by word or like know exactly what I'm looking for. Otherwise, it just gets really overwhelming to have like everything you scroll over have it like yell at you, like what that show is. It's like I know what B movie is. I don't need the little tiny trailer for it and like as loud as possible.
Right. Right.
No, yeah. And I pretty much know what I want when I'm going in for stuff, like food or like a movie.
You like food shows?
I'm divisive. No, just like in like, oh, like I'm decisive in general. Yeah.
Okay, I get it.
I know what I want.
Okay, I get it. We're gonna segue back to, because there's so much still. I feel like we haven't even touched improv. Do you miss improv?
I do. Yeah, I'm excited for that the show that's coming up. That'll be fun.
Yeah, the book report.
Yeah.
Do you know
what
book you're gonna do?
No.
Okay.
I don't. I'm working on it, but I have an idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. No, so
can you go over what
you kind of put us in a dilemma, because what I normally do is like we normally book one improviser and one comic.
Okay.
Okay. And I always joke, like, we got somebody who knows what they're doing and somebody that just, oh, I could do that.
Right.
Because that's where the show started, is that, you know, like I spent a lot of time in both camps, like the comics and the improvisers. And every once in a while, a comic would be like, I could do improv. That's easy. And I'm like, no, it's so not. I guess you're gonna be our improviser that day. Like you've never done stand up, have you?
No.
Okay.
No, I have not.
Yeah, but yeah. So what we do is you give a book report just like in high school, and don't worry about whatever. You're gonna pass. You're gonna get an A.
Awesome.
But we're gonna we'll ask you questions during. So my co-host Dana Bryant, like she still performs at the Sacramento Comedy Spot.
Awesome.
So she's a great improviser. And so Dana and I will listen to your book report. We'll ask you questions during the book report to help us build the universe.
Okay.
You know all about that.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, to help us build the universe. And then once we feel the book report is over, or once Dana's got everything she needs, then she's going to go into a scene with you.
Okay.
inspired by your book report.
Cool. All right, I have some ideas of a book that I could do.
And we've had like silly children's books.
Sure.
Some of the funner ones have been some of the comics have brought in graphic novel comic books.
Yeah.
Some of the comics have brought those in, and we've done some good ones. And some comics have brought in like children, like their favorite children's book when they were a kid. And of course, some of the classics have been brought in.
Awesome.
And Pej, I'm going to call him out again. I'm positive did not read his book. Because when he showed it to me, like, it wasn't even creased. Like, it made noise when I opened it.
He got spark notes.
Yeah. I was like, I don't think you read this, Pej. So you better nail this improv scene.
Oh, that's amazing.
So yeah, I'm excited about that. Yeah. So you do miss doing improv.
Yeah, I do. You know, like I ultimately.
I'm sorry. You know, what led you to improv? Like what made you Google search improv Sacramento?
So I think it wasn't like a search or just random. I believe my high school friend was producing a show at the Comedy Spot and wanted help with the music side of things. And then I decided to take classes so that I could also be on the acting side of things.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's how it started. I don't know. Like, it's been a long time. But yeah, it was super fun. I wanted to make time to do music stuff on stage. So I quit for a little bit, basically.
Like, to be successful at it and like to be like on one of the house teams, it was every
Friday. And it was also when my career for tattooing was just starting. Like, I was getting out of my apprenticeship and I was on a Friday night team every week. Plus like working there sometimes and stuff at the Comedy Spot. So I do miss it a lot, and I think that I would have more time for it now and also more maturity and like again, discipline to be able to do more things all at the same time. But mm-hmm. I just kind of made a decision to focus on music for a little bit and then also tattooing. And yeah, you know, I miss it. I do.
Yeah, when you've talked about like your maturity and making time for it, like, is how important is it to make time to just do absolutely nothing? And are you any good at that?
Oh yeah. Lately I've been hanging out by myself so much, and it's been so nice. It's funny because, you know, trying to find that community in Sacramento and finding it is awesome because it doesn't go away. It's always there. Yes. And for a while I kind of struggled with that idea, like, no, you have to be out all the time and be a part of it. And like, no, but you are a part of it. And you can also, you know, like, spend days to yourself doing what you want to do, and you don't have to be in the social like whirlpool of it all the time, you know, because it's there, it's going to be there. So I think, yeah, that's part of it.
Yeah, you are definitely a part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you are definitely a part of it. I want to talk about tattooing again really quick. You've been tattooing for like 9, almost 10 years.
Yeah.
How much has changed in the 9-10 years? Like, what, like, is it getting easier, or is it getting more overwhelming because there's so many tools? Or
it's getting easier for sure.
It's getting easier.
Yeah, you know, it's getting like accessibility to good equipment is easier. Things are cheaper than they used to be. Also just the attitude towards like inclusivity and the whole like gatekeeping quality of tattooing is starting to slowly chip away, which is really awesome. Because nobody succeeds when there's gatekeeping, you know.
Like, there was gatekeeping.
Oh my god, come on. Yeah,
really.
Oh, absolutely. Like, when I got my apprenticeship, I heard people say like, oh, we don't need any more tattoo artists, especially women, you know, stuff like that. Like, are you serious? Like, all of you are gonna die at some point. Like, what do you mean you don't need more tattoo artists?
Yeah,
like half of you are gonna have a heart attack at 55 anyway.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, I get
like,
it.
Come on, dude.
I get
like, it. Fuck. So yeah, and you know, just, you know, coil over rotary. You know, you'll never be as good of a tattoo artist.
What is that? What is that? Coil
like,
over rotary.
Like different style of tattoo machines. You know, like it's like saying you'll never be a real guitarist if you use a Fender instead of a Gibson. It's stupid. You know, and it's just a way to make people feel like they can't do what the other person's doing. And to withhold information so that people are left behind. And,
wow.
Yeah, you know, that's it's not so much a thing as it used to be, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where do you see it going, like, in the next 10 years?
I think that there's going to probably be a push towards, like, actually, I don't know how it happens right now, because when I got my body art practitioner license, somebody had to sign off and say that I was working under them for a certain amount of time, like an apprenticeship. And I think that it would be cool if there was a way to have the same requirements, but not necessarily that, because that it could lead people to apprenticeships where they're being taken advantage of and stuff, because you have to have this person sign off on you. You know, you can't just like study and learn, or you can't like have multiple teachers for a little bit of time, but yeah, stuff like that, you know, making it a little bit easier to get around the gatekeeping stuff that kind of harms people in the long run. But I think it's also important to keep it sterile and safe and in shops, you know.
Have you had the turn to be an apprentice to someone?
Yeah.
Or to have someone apprentice you? Wait, did I say it right?
Or
you
know, to be a mentor.
A mentor, yeah. I knew what I was saying.
I've had a few people ask in the past, and I feel like I'm still not ready to teach somebody. I'm also still working on, you know, like, my discipline and what my career looks like and where I want it to go. And I think that I would like to travel more and learn from more people before I decide to teach people. I think that would benefit my career. And then ultimately, if I do teach people in the future, that would benefit them too.
So. Are tattoo styles different
Based
on the region, like New York versus California, like versus Japan versus...
Yeah,
like, do you look at stuff like that?
Totally. It's fun to...
Like, how do you nerd out about tattoos?
I like looking at people's tattoos, hopefully not creepily, because, you know, I'm also autistic, so I probably stare pretty bad. But I like to look and see if they look like they have tattoos from people, like, people that are not in Sacramento. Like, you can, if you...
What's one of the things?
Like, so a certain style of very heavy black in traditional work either comes from Davis or elsewhere. Like, it's a little bit more colorful with that heavy black if it's like Sacramento traditional proper tattoo artists, generally speaking.
What about Bay Area?
I mean, you're gonna see a lot more like fine line stuff and like script and you know, like the super super West Coast black and gray work in the Bay and LA too. But then LA, you get more of like the illustrative style that I like to do, that's kind of like not cartoony but somewhere in between traditional tattoo artwork and illustrative work, and then also like weird acid brain thought that you would put in your high school notebook.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about East Coast?
East Coast, I think, is pretty traditional too. I don't know. I don't know a lot about East Coast tattooing. It's kind of all over the place. There's a lot of like that stick and poke stuff coming out of the East Coast too right now. So.
Okay.
Like fine line work. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you want to get better at?
I'd like to get better at like, I don't know. I guess like illustrative color work would be cool because I haven't done it in a while. And that's not to say that I'm not good at it, but you know, practice makes more perfecter.
Yeah.
As they say.
You have a day off with absolutely nothing to do. Are you going to doodle in your notebook? Are you going to pick up your guitar?
Are you talking like just in general?
Just in general. Okay. Yeah. What do you do? What do you do with,
because
it seems like, okay, like with me, when I write, I don't like writing them. Like all the younger comics in their phone, the notes in their phone. Mm-mm. I can't do that. I have notebooks and pens everywhere. And you kind of seem like that type of person as well. Like you've got notebooks and pens everywhere.
I definitely sketch in my iPad a lot, but that's just because it's easy to do and really, really convenient to not have to carry around tracing paper, a sketch pad, three different colors of pencils for your different layers of your drawing, and then also pens that are going to like run out. Pen to paper is always good. Mm-hmm. I journal a lot and stuff like that. So, day off. The days off that I've been doing lately where I've been hanging out by myself is a lot of like meal prepping, and then I'll play some video games, play some guitar, or I'll draw, I'll do some painting, maybe work out, take a walk, hang out with my cats.
Are you a gamer?
Yeah, I like video games a lot. They help my brain be calm.
Really?
Oh yeah.
To me, video games like stress me out, and like there's too much going on, and I can't cope with it.
Yeah, no, they totally turn my brain off. It's nice.
Oh,
just turn
really?
A different part of it on where I can just kind of sit there and like focus on that for a little bit.
You've got $100 to blow. Are you going to blow it at a are you going to blow it on tattoo supplies, music supplies, art supplies? Or is $100 not even a drop in the well?
Yeah, I was like, well, what part of a project would I be paying for? I don't know, maybe a couple canvases or maybe some tattoo ink. I don't know, I'm pretty good for like music stuff right now. I think I'm set.
I think music, it's like you got your guitar, you got your amp, you got your pedals. You don't really need more, right?
I do need a new record player, but that doesn't really count, and that's more than $100, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
What are you playing on right now? What do you got right now?
I do not have one right now.
Oh, you don't have one at all?
Yes. I just need to get one.
Yeah. Delta Breeze, man.
Yeah, I love them. They're great.
Yeah, what record stores do you love? Do you like digging in the crates?
All the local ones are great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I try to make my rounds, or at least I did when I had an operating record player. But
I pulled $40 out. I went to Trader Joe's this morning because I did not have coffee creamer. And I couldn't believe I let myself do that. But I worked really hard last night driving Lyft, and I pulled $40 out. And as a reward today, I get to go to, if I make it to South Sac, I'll go to Phono Select.
Yeah.
I love those guys. They're Dal and Steve. They're so cool. I love hanging out in there. But the easiest thing for me is the 1-2 punch of Kicksville.
Yeah, and Delta.
Kicksville and then Delta.
Yeah.
Right there, back to back.
Yep. I love Kicksville a lot. Both places are great.
Yeah. But what I love about Delta Breeze is, like, man, you can go in there with $20 and walk out with five records.
Yeah.
You can go to they have that three for five bin.
That's pretty nice.
Which I found a Boston in there once, the first Boston album I found in there once.
Hell yeah.
And yeah, we gotta get you a record player, man.
Yeah, it's on the list.
Okay. But then, like, you need the amp also, and then the speakers. Well,
yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. The whole thing. The whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's.
It's all right. Yeah, it'll get there.
I love my setup. These.
Rub it in.
Let me tell you something. These speakers, right? So I walked into Delta Breeze one day, and there was speakers everywhere, like all over, like on the floor. Like you had to walk around speakers, and the guy was like, Ben won an auction. It was nothing but speakers.
Awesome.
And I was like, wow. And he's like, yeah, they're priced to sell. And I started looking, and these were marked $50,
no,
right?
Oh shit, nice.
And I liked them, and they're pretty. Look at the wood. Yeah. They're gorgeous, right? I was like, $50. I grabbed them. I brought them home. I looked them up on the internet. The cheapest I could find them was $4.99.
Holy cow. Nice.
And I almost like went back and said, I think these were like, I think you made a mistake. But the next time I saw Ben, he was like, oh, did you end up with those? I was like, yeah, I just had too much shit and I had to get rid of it.
So they knew what they had. They had to get rid of it.
Yeah. They had to get rid of it. And, all right, I'll stop rubbing my.
Yeah, it's okay.
I'll stop rubbing it in there.
It's all right. I'm happy for you.
Oh, you're the best. Okay, tattoos. You found your Halloween costume.
I did.
We talked about how it started. We talked about the Killers, improv, art. It's time for 5 easy questions.
All right.
Are you ready?
These are
so easy.
All right.
All right, Maddie. Who or what inspires you?
Nature.
Really?
Sure.
And right now is a beautiful yes. time for that, right? You love going on walks.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. What, and gosh, with you, like, it could inspire you to music, draw, sing.
Yeah.
I'm kind of jealous right now.
I mean, just look at a tree, man.
You know, it's so funny that you say that. When I was in choir in high school, and our choir director was telling us how special we were for being the weirdos.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're the weirdos that stare at trees.
Oh, man.
I remember him telling us that you're the weirdos that stare at trees.
Yep.
And that's why you're beautiful. And I was like, I do, I guess.
That specific teacher just stared at trees. He's like, I know I'm not alone.
Yeah. So I will make it my life work. Look at this. Look.
Oh.
So vicious.
That's fantastic.
What are you currently binging? And it could be a book, a series, a particular artist. What are you like, I can't get enough of this?
I've been rewatching Dexter, and it is so terrible and so good at the same time. It's just like every episode, I'm just like, why the fuck would they say that? Like, what are they doing with this character? Why is she hooking up with an old man? It's amazing.
Do I need to watch Dexter? Because for years, I resisted Dexter because I loved the novel American Psycho so much. And gotcha. I was like, I think I got that.
No, it's pretty fun. And it's your typical, like, kind of sleazy drama show. Uh-huh. But with murder. Okay. And in Miami. It's fantastic.
Oh, it's set in Miami?
Yeah. Yeah, it's super fun.
How many seasons is there?
Ooh, there's quite a few. At least go up to season 4, because that's where John Lithgow is, and he is a great character in the show.
I fucking love John Lithgow. Yeah. This is the second podcast that we've brought up John Lithgow. That's funny. but let me tell you about my first John Lithgow, is that I was talking to Graciela Hamilton about her favorite TV shows, and she said 30 Rock. Mm. But my brain heard Third Rock. And when she said 30 Rock, I was like, I love John Lithgow. She looked at me like, yeah. And then my best friend texted me. She's like, she meant 30 Rock, you dumbass.
That's so funny.
All right. So you're binging Dexter.
Yeah.
Is it, how many times have you rewatched it? Is this
the
second?
I think this will be my second time. Yeah. Rewatching it, I think. I don't think it's my third. If it's my third, then so be it.
All right. Oh my gosh, I forgot one of the questions, so I'm gonna skip to. If you're on death row, what would your last meal be?
Jim Boy's taco burger.
What, a taco burger?
Yeah, have you ever had one of those?
No, I didn't know that. I didn't know that was a thing.
They're great. It's they just take a little hamburger patty, and they have this like mustard sauce that they make, and cheese and lettuce and tomatoes, and that's in their like crispy Jim Boy's shell with the Parmesan cheese. It's fantastic.
That is such a Sacramento. To say that it's Jimbo's is such a Sacramento thing.
Jimbo's taco burger, please.
Yeah. Okay, and I can't. Oh my god, I'm spacing on what one of the questions is right now. Give me 1 second. So now what I have to do is I have to find where I sent somebody else all the questions.
It's all good.
And my friend, now I'm trying to scramble for time. My friend lives by the original Jimbo's tacos.
Oh yeah.
And she brings it up all the time.
It's so good. So
it's over by dude, do you love Denials?
Yeah, I've been a few times. It's pretty fun.
That's another Sacramento thing, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Like going to Denials?
Yes. Yes.
I cannot believe I'm spacing on one of my questions.
How's your tattoo feeling today? We tattooed you yesterday.
It feels great. I always get so excited about getting a new tattoo.
Good.
And it feels great. How's it look?
Oh, yeah. Already looks super happy. Excellent. Oh yeah.
That's I can't great. Believe, like, your eye did great work.
Damn.
What are you afraid of?
Deep ocean.
I don't like the ocean either, but I love going on cruises, but the ocean freaks me the fuck out.
I can be at the beach. I'll be in the ocean at the beach, but cruises, like being out in open water, like no, thank you.
It's so massive and it's just too deep.
There's monsters in there for sure.
What do you think?
Thank you.
What do you think started that fear of the ocean?
Good question. I think just I was on a cruise as an adult and hadn't been on one since I was a kid, and I was like, oh, actually I don't like this at all. Just a little bit too aware of like what could happen. My anxiety my GAD, that's probably what happened.
You're in a better spot now that you could handle it?
Yeah, because like I said, I went into the ocean and like swam on the beach and stuff for my birthday, so that was fine. You know, like I think for a minute I would like didn't even want to do that. So
okay.
Also horses terrify me.
They're so big and strong.
They're dinosaurs. I don't like them. They got shark eyes. No thanks. Too big.
Okay. Maddie, last question. What's next? What's next for you? What's on the horizon? What can we look forward to?
I would like to release a little EP. So I'm going to keep working on my music that I'm working on. And then I'd like to travel more for tattooing and come visit people in their cities and tattoo them there and kind of expand my clientele to be beyond Sacramento. That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Did we cover everything you wanted to talk about?
Hell yeah. That was fun. Yeah.
All right, man. Let's get out of here.
Cool.
Thanks for stopping by today.
Thank you so much. It was hella fun.
Thanks. Bye.